time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Well, things move quickly on this half hour of every Sunday's show. As Dave Hansen leaves, Gordon Goldsborough joins us here in the studio. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now, remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, we're approaching the flood season in Manitoba, and I said we would talk about an abandoned structure along the Assiniboine River that reminds us that if you build in a flood-prone area and you don't anticipate problems, you are kidding yourself. And I was referring to Eleanor Kidd Park in Brandon.
Okay, so who was Eleanor Kidd?
She was born in England. She came to Manitoba before the First World War, and she worked as a public health nurse, initially at Portisla Prairie, and she later came to Brandon. In 1947, she founded the Brandon Humane Society, and she worked there tirelessly for the rest of her life, organizing fundraising campaigns, caring for stray animals. Well, she was so well regarded that the year before she died in 1978, so in 1977, a public park was unveiled in her honor, located right along the Assiniboine River, just west of 18th Street. And I actually lived in Brandon twice in my life, once in the early 1980s, again in the early 1990s. I remember the Eleanor Kidd Park as this nice little green space. It had sort of a path where you could walk, you could bicycle. Wintertime, you could cross-country ski. Eventually, the path led over to Curran Park, another city park on the other side of the Assiniboine. There were benches, there were picnic sites, there were lights, and in fact, by the 1990s, there was even a nice roofed picnic shelter. So a nice sort of place to spend time with your family.
I love finding out about the history of the names of parks, places we visit all the time.
You know, and you'd think they'd have a sign that would tell you, but they don't seem to do that.
Now, for listeners who may not be familiar with Brandon, what does the river valley look like?
The Assiniboine is a typically slow-moving and shallow prairie river. You know, it meanders back and forth, sort of twisting in one way and the other, in the bottom of a relatively deep valley that was carved thousands of years ago by a post-glacial river. The city of Brandon is mostly located on the north hill above the river valley and then south of the river as well. The river valley itself is fairly deep. The difference in elevation is something like 100 feet between the top of the north hill and the bottom of the river. There aren't many houses and other buildings in the valley itself, and most of the vegetation that you see is typically, well, it's the sort of plants that are tolerant of wet conditions. Things like willows, for example, is the only thing that you see right along the river itself.
So given how deep the valley goes, how often does the river flood in Brandon?
I was interested in that question, so I looked at historical data on river flow measured at Brandon, and I found that for an 111-year period from 1906 to 2017, the average value was about 40 cubic meters per second. Well, the units aren't important. Just think 40 units. Now, there is an annual pattern to that, and it typically peaks in the spring around now when, you know, the snow is melting. But through the 20th century, there have been major floods, and these have been usually in the range of about 400 compared to 40, so about 10 times higher than the average. These occurred every few years. So, for example, there was a flood period in the early 1920s. There was another one in the mid-1950s. There was a big one in 1976, and then there was a really particularly big one in 1995, but all of these were dwarfed by floods that occurred in 2011 and again in 2014. And the floods at that time, in those big floods, they were around 700 cubic meters per second. So they were really big. They've been described, in fact, as one in 300-year floods. In other words, you know, once in every 300 years. And people tend to think that means you should only have one every 300 years. But the reality is that's just a statistical probability. And there's nothing preventing you from having them in two consecutive years in theory. So we had two of them in just a matter of 3 years. But if for Brandonites who might be thinking about current conditions, as of last week, the flow was 95. So not anywhere close to these big flood conditions.
Thankfully. What happens in Brandon when these severe floods occur?
Fortunately, much of the city of Brandon is not located in the river valley, and so the extent of the flooding of buildings, for example, is usually fairly minor, but it does happen. So, for instance, I own in my personal collection three historical postcards of Brandon from 1913, and looking at the data, that says that the flood that year was 300. So, no, not a really, really big one, but certainly bigger than the average. And in that those postcards, you can see houses near the river valley on the south side of the river, and their water's getting pretty close. So I wouldn't be surprised they got flooded, and they're gone now. So I'm anticipating that means simply that they got tired of all the flooding, and finally they just tore those houses down. And that's why I say today the area immediately on either side of the river is not well developed, not in terms of buildings anyway.
So bringing this back to Eleanor Kidd Park, what happens to the park during the river floods?
In 1995, when I lived in Brandon, the river flow was 472, and at that time, only the roof of the picnic shelter was visible above water. Basically, the entire shelter was underwater. This was the highest flood in Brandon's recorded history to that point. And it was the only one in kind of a prolonged dry period. So through the 1980s, for example, it was pretty dry. Even through much of the 1990s, the same. And so I think this general lack of flooding may have motivated Brandonites to think, let's start making some plans to use the river valley more. It's not really that developed. So coincidentally, just before the 1995 flood, they unveiled a 25-year master plan. And the idea was they were going to create a non-profit charity called Brandon Riverbank, Inc.
What did they do?
They took funds that they raised from the municipal government, from the provincial government, from the federal government, and they built something called the Riverbank Discovery Center. It was basically a sort of a public educational space on the north side of the Assiniboine, and it opened in 1999. They also decided they were going to expand the Eleanor Kidd Park. It had been fairly basic to that point. So they started raising money. They apparently raised something in the order of $650,000 to plan a much more expanded park. In fact, the name changed from Eleanor Kidd Park to Eleanor Kidd Park and Gardens. There were going to be extensive gardens. There were going to be walkways. There were going to be a performance stage so that they could have, musical performances. There was a fountain. There were sculpture from the noted sculptor Peter Sawatsky. And all of this was to be maintained by a group consisting of the Brandon Garden Club, the Brandon Riverbank Inc., and workers from the city of Brandon. It was a lush site. It was beautiful with all kinds of sort of plants, conifers and shrubs and annual plants, flowers and things. There were weddings. There were summer concerts. It was really a popular place.
How was it affected by the 2011 and 2014 floods, though?
Well, see, there's the rub. You build in the floodplain, you kind of have to expect. So, unfortunately, the Eleanor Kidd Park and Gardens was badly flooded in 2011. And some parts of it, just for a short time, the higher elevations, but the lower-lying parts, the gardens area, for example, was inundated for a prolonged period. Because it was considered a 1 in 300-year event, they thought, okay, well, it happens once in a while, so they cleaned it all up. Well, after the second flood in 2014, they began to realize, maybe this isn't the best place. So at that point, they didn't really do much in the way of cleanup. And in fact, in May of 2016, a new master plan was unveiled. And it recommended a whole bunch of things, among which was the abandonment of this site. They said, it's just too prone to being flooded. The whole nature of the gardens was perhaps not ideal for the site. So what they recommended is that they have more native plantings, things again like willows that are adapted to wet conditions or that are native to the air, to the region at least, more so than maybe annual plants, decorative plants, horticultural species, things that really didn't ever grow in river valleys where it was always prone to flooding. So they've removed all the sculptures, they've moved them over to the Riverbank Discovery Center on the north side. They've decommissioned the washrooms. They demolished the picnic shelter. I was there not long ago, and I walked around the site. There's still some of the concrete walkways are there. Some of the benches are there. The place is just completely overgrown with weeds. It's strewn with garbage, but the performance stage is still there. It's kind of sad to see this once, really a beautiful location kind of looking pretty shabby now. But supposedly it's going to be recreated on the north side of the river. But, it does remind us, looking at this nice park, that when you build in a place that is prone to flooding, you just have to expect once in a while it's going to flood.
It's the reality of living in this area. You're right. But I do love the way you described how, you know, its potential and when they originally planned with that master plan. Mm-hmm. Gordon, thank you for this. Another cryptic clue for next week, please.
Next week, we're going to visit a vacant mansion in Winnipeg that has connections to meat, to grain, to newspapers, and to senators.
Sounds good, Gordon. Thank you so much.
We'll see you next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.